my restraint, and all it took was finding one safe shelter before I broke down. Asher was by my side in an instant, his arms encircling me as I pressed my tear-dampened face into his chest. He didn't say a word, he just held me, his embrace so strong and steady I was sure it could withstand even the most devastating of storms. "I screwed up," I sobbed. "The rehearsal. I screwed it all up. I forgot the choreography, I threw everyone off, I..." A hiccup split my self-loathing in half. "I can't do it. I'm not even the principal and I'm already making a mess of things." Past me would have slapped present me over the words leaving my mouth. I'd believed anyone could do anything if they tried hard enough, but I was tired of having to try so hard. Some days it was a struggle just to get out of bed. I was constantly at war with my body, my emotions, and everything that should have been on my side but wasn't. I was exhausted. All I wanted was to stay here forever, surrounded by Asher's warmth and the reassuring beats of his heart. Here, I didn't have to try. I could just be.
"You can do it."
Firmness underlaid his otherwise gentle tone.
"This is the first time you've performed with a cast in years. Give yourself the grace to grow."
"To grow and do what? They'll never let me sub in for Yvette now," I said, my voice small. I didn't want to sub in for Yvette. If I fucked up during the performance the way I had in rehearsals, I'd never be able to show my face at RIB again. I'd never be able to look at myself in the mirror again. I wouldn't be surprised if Lavinia calls me into her office tomorrow and takes the understudy role away from me. My tears finally slowed to a trickle. I pulled away from Asher's chest and swiped angrily at my cheeks. "I should have practiced more, but I'm afraid." I was too embarrassed to voice the insecurity out loud. My doctor said I could dance as long as I didn't overdo it, but I worried that I had to overdo it in order to master the choreography. I was rusty after years away from dancing. I did fine in the opening scene before I got distracted and everything went to hell, but could I sustain that through multiple practices and a full performance? Surprisingly, my muscles weren't screaming after the day's exertions, but they were fickle. They were fine one day and agonizing the next. Even if I could sustain that level of performance, I had to contend with the psychological pressure of being on stage again. What if my memories sucked me back into the abyss during the showcase? What if I froze again and became a laughingstock? How could my students take me seriously if I couldn't master one performance? Despite bouts of nostalgia from my old career, I loved my job at RAB. I'd clawed my way out of a hole of bitterness and resentment to build a new life here, and I didn't want to jeopardize it.
"If you want to practice more, we can practice more. It's not too late."
Asher's thumb skimmed over my cheek and wiped away a stray tear. His eyes searched my face.
"Do you want to practice more?"
Different responses rushed to the tip of my tongue. Yes, no, I don't know. No was the easy answer. Yes was the optimistic challenge. I don't know was the truth. So that was what I went with. "I'm probably overthinking, per usual," I said with a weak smile. Now that the tears had tapered off and I had other company besides my treacherous thoughts, it was easier to pull myself back from the brink of despair. The chances of me dancing in Yvette's place again are slim. This was probably a one-time thing.
"Maybe, but the practices wouldn't be for anyone else. They would be for you."
Asher's hand paused at the curve of my jaw. He cupped my face, his touch tender. I unconsciously leaned into him. Fatigue was settling into my bones, but the press of his skin against mine gave me enough strength to keep going.
"If you're worried about overexerting yourself, I have a solution."
He always knew what I was thinking without me having to say it.
"We can incorporate your practices into my training,"
he said, in response to the quizzical arch of my brows.
"You don't have to dance the full 2 hours every time. We can break up the choreography into pieces. 90 minutes for my training, 30 for yours. Depending on how you're feeling. We'll be in the studio anyway. We might as well make full use of it."
A roguish grin appeared.
"I'm not a dancer, but I can spot you if you need me to."
A laugh cleared the rasp in my throat. I don't think spotting means what you think it means in ballet. Dancers use the spotting technique to maintain control and avoid dizziness during the execution of various turns. It involved finding a stationary focal point and had nothing to do with partner assistance the way it did in the gym.
Oh, well.
Asha shrugged.
Regardless, I'll be there if you need me.
I battled a wave of emotion. Thank you. That's... Do not cry again. Once was enough. I'll think about it. It was a good idea. It straddled the line between practice and overexertion, and I could rehearse without the pressure of my peers. It was a more palatable option than giving up. Shame stole through me at my earlier weakness. If Asha hadn't been here, I might have admitted defeat after one bad rehearsal. Was that the type of person I'd become? Had I grown so soft that I couldn't handle a bad day? Or was I so hard on myself that I thought a bad day was the end of the world? I didn't like either possibility. Actually, I don't need to think about it, I said, my resolve firmed. You're right. We'll add my practice to our training sessions.
Good.
Asha's smile was as slow and languid as the warmth seeping under my skin.
That's my girl.
That's my girl. Three words shouldn't have the power to undo me, but they did. Butterflies erupted low in my stomach. They were so distracting I almost overlooked the novelty of seeing Asha at RAB again. As far as I knew, he hadn't stepped foot in the building since we changed our training location. What are you doing here? I asked as we made our slow ascent up the stairs toward the exit. We didn't have a meeting, did we?
No, but I had a midsummer check-in with Lavinia. It was one of Coach's requirements.
Asha placed a hand on the small of my back and steered me around a box of props that someone had carelessly left in the aisle.
Don't worry, I didn't talk too much shit about you.
Wow, thanks. I appreciate the glowing recommendation.
Anytime.
His mouth quirked.
But I also wanted to come by and see you. I wanted to give you formal notice.
I eyed him with wariness. About what?
About this weekend.
He pushed the door open. Thankfully, the hinges let out a squeak this time instead of a full-on metallic screech. I racked my brain for upcoming special occasions and came up empty. What's happening this weekend? Asha glanced at me again, his eyes dancing with mischief.
We're going on our first official date.
Chapter 29. Scarlet. Asha refused to tell me what our date would entail. He only gave me a dress code, nice but casual, so I spent the next 4 days trying to guess the activity. My friends helped. Our new group chat was growing increasingly active, and I was relieved to see them hitting it off, virtually at least. They'd been a little hesitant with each other at first, but the texts were now flying fast and furious. Karina. Nice, but casual is the most generic description ever. He didn't give you more than that. Nope, he won't even tell me which part of London it's in. Brooklyn. Maybe it's not London. Brooklyn. Maybe he's taking you on a weekend trip to the Cotswolds or something. I don't think we're traveling anywhere, or he would have told me to pack. Karina. Babe, he's a multimillionaire. You don't have to pack. He can buy whatever you need once you get there. Brooklyn. Exactly. You guys, please, I really don't think it's travel. I don't want to go anywhere right now anyway. I'd prefer something more low-key. Brooklyn. Boo. Karina. No souvenirs for us. Frowny face. Spoiler. He did not take me to the Cotswolds. Instead, he took me to... someone's house? Is this a private residence? I craned my head to take in all four stories of the red brick behemoth before us. It was large enough to double as a hotel.
Most days, yes. Today it's something else.
Asha said. That's not vague at all.
Sometimes life is more fun when there's a little mystery.
He laughed at my pout.
Don't worry, darling. I'll explain everything soon enough.
He knocked on the door. It opened 2 seconds later, revealing a tall, reedy man with silver hair and a perfectly pressed black suit. He looked like a butler straight out of central casting.
Mr. Donovan, Ms. Dubois, welcome.
He greeted us with a small bow.
I'm Mr. Harris, the head butler. Please, follow me.
Head butler? Was there more than one? The house's mystery deepened the further we walked. Asher said it was a private residence most days, but I didn't see any personal effects. There were only miles of gleaming marble and original oil paintings hanging in gilded frames. Our footsteps echoed in the massive halls. Otherwise, it was silent as a mausoleum. If it weren't for Asher's reassuring presence, I would have been thoroughly creeped out. I thought Mr. Harris might lead us to the gardens or an indoor cinema, but we stopped at the kitchen instead.
Enjoy.
He gave us another bow.
If you need anything, anything at all, please feel free to give me a ring on the intercom.
With that, he retreated, leaving us in what might have been the biggest kitchen I'd ever seen. I wasn't a culinary enthusiast, but even I was impressed by the setup. A massive kitchen island, professional-grade cookware, 3 stainless steel sub-zero fridges, and acres of storage space. It was every chef's dream. An inordinately handsome man with dark brown hair and hazel eyes stood in the middle of the room. He wore black pants and a crisp white shirt with the sleeves rolled up. And he oozed enough natural charm to make most women fall at his feet. If I weren't dating Asher, I probably would have succumbed at the sight of his forearms alone.
Seb, I didn't know you were in London.
Asher sounded surprised.
I thought Gerard was going to be our instructor. He was, but ironically he got food poisoning yesterday. Not from one of our restaurants, of course.
The man added. He clapped a hand on Asher's shoulder in greeting before he turned to me, his smile dazzled as he held out his hand.
Sebastian Laurent.
His voice contained a smooth, light trace of France, evoking images of sun-dappled vineyards and walks along the Seine. Scarlett. Dubois, I added as an afterthought. Were we introducing ourselves by our full names now?
Dubois.
His brows rose an inch.
Any relation to Yves Dubois?
I smiled. He's my great-uncle. My grandfather's brother was a famous couturier. We didn't talk much, but he occasionally sent me a dress sample out of the blue, which was enough to earn him a spot in my good graces forever. Yves Dubois gowns weren't cheap.
Sebastian is the chief marketing officer of the Laurent Restaurant Group.
Asher said.
This is his house. Part-time house. I'm based in New York.
Sebastian explained.
When I'm not here, I change the residence to a venue for VIP brand events and activities, such as what we're doing today.
I had an inkling, but I asked anyway. Which is?
A cooking class.
Asher's eyes sparkled.
You love structure, and there's nothing more structured than cooking. Look at any recipe. It's literally a step-by-step guide.
His reasoning was so unexpected yet so perfect that I couldn't help but burst into laughter.
Step by step with room for interpretation.
Sebastian smiled.
However, we'll stick to the rules today since it's your first time.
He handed us aprons and gave us a brief spiel about the guidelines and agenda. We were learning how to cook a 3-course meal consisting of a salad, main course, and dessert.
Like Asher mentioned earlier, Gérard Brézier was supposed to be your instructor today. But, alas.
Sebastian gave a quintessentially French shrug.
I hope you don't mind if I take over. I'm not a Michelin-starred chef, but I did attend culinary school before business school. Family tradition.
He said when my eyebrows shot up.
Our business is food. If we want to sell it, we should know everything that goes into making it.
I don't mind at all. I tied the apron behind me. Though this seems like something a CMO shouldn't have to do on a Saturday afternoon. Sebastian's mouth tilted into a smile.
I've followed Asher's career since he was with Man U, so I've known him for a while. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to make him suffer a little.
I laughed while Asher rolled his eyes.
Don't listen to him,
he said.
I may not have attended culinary school, but I know my way around the kitchen.
He was right. He did. Much more than me. As the class got underway, it became painfully clear that my talents did not include tossing salads or searing filet mignon. Nevertheless, I had a blast. Sebastian kept us entertained with stories about previous events, while Asher tried to convince me my filet mignon wasn't that overcooked. It was. And I tried to steal one of the raspberries for his cheesecake without him noticing. He did, but he let me have it anyway. It was different and interactive and fun. I didn't feel any pressure to be witty enough or charming enough. Not that I ever felt that pressure with Asher, but it was nice to spend time with him in an intimate yet casual environment. Physical attraction and romantic feelings aside, I just liked hanging out with him. Some people drained my energy if I was around them too long, but he lit me up. After our class, we brought our food into the dining room, which looked way too fancy for my blackened steak.
This is where I leave you. Scarlett, it was a pleasure.
Sebastian gave me a cordial cheek kiss.
Asher, I'm looking forward to next season. Here's hoping Black Castle wins the championship.
He clapped Asher on the back again and flicked a glance at my plate. He barely suppressed a wince.
Please, enjoy your meal. Mr. Harris will bring out the wine.
You'll need it. He was too polite to say it, but I knew what he meant. My food was a disaster.
Here.
Asher said when Sebastian left. He gestured for me to swap seats with him.
You take my meal, I'll take yours.
No way. I didn't budge. I'm not making you eat this.
So you're going to eat it instead?
It's not that bad. The salad is edible, I think. Asher's mouth twitched.
Okay. I'm going to say something and I don't want you to be offended.
Let me guess. I'm a terrible cook.
Well, yes, but that's not what I was going to say, although it is related to that.
He pressed the intercom button next to the table.
Mr. Harris, can you bring in our food, please?
My lips parted when our servers returned, this time with fresh dishes that we absolutely did not make. Wait, you had a backup meal this entire time? I shot him an accusing glare. You made us go through the class for nothing.
Not for nothing. I had hope.
Asher's eyes gleamed with laughter at my outraged gasp.
I'm sorry, darling. You're beautiful, talented, and wonderful in so many ways, but ever since you told me you thought it was impossible to overcook shrimp, I figured it was better to be safe than sorry.
That wasn't my fault. I told you the internet lied, I grumbled, but I couldn't hang on to my indignation for much longer. The meal I made was awful, so I was happy to have an alternative.
I hope you had fun anyway, even if your steak didn't turn out as planned.
The corner of Asher's mouth twitched again.
I figured we'd take the class for the experience and not the, outcome.
My face softened. How could I stay mad when he was so bloody thoughtful all the time? I did have fun. This was one of the best dates I've ever had.
I'm glad.
Asher paused, swelled his wine, then said,
One of? What dates have been better than this one?
Oh, you know. I flattened my mouth into a line, sealing the laugh that threatened to spill out at his obvious fishing. There was the helicopter ride in Hawaii, and the 8-course meal on a beach in St. Lucia. It was total bullshit. I'd never been to Hawaii or St. Lucia, but a disgruntled Asher was too cute not to tease. His face crumpled into a scowl, and I couldn't hold it in any longer. My laughter broke free, bouncing off the walls and rattling the silverware as I tried to rein it in. Asher's eyes narrowed with dawning realization.
You were taking the mickey out of me.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. My cheeks hurt from grinning. I've never seen someone look so annoyed by the mention of Hawaii, but I was joking. This is the best date I've ever had. I gestured around us. My ex would have never thought of something like this. He liked the flashy things, fancy dinners, over-the-top treatment. I like those things too, in moderation, but sometimes I felt like he was doing them for the image instead of the sentiment. So this, my mouth faded into something softer. This was perfect. It was probably frowned upon to talk about an ex during a date, but Asher picked up the thread and kept pulling.
When did you two break up?
He asked. 5 years ago. Asher's brows furrowed. Yeah, it was right after my accident. I took a fortifying sip of wine and debated how much to tell him. I didn't want to turn our dinner into a therapy session. I hadn't talked about Rafe in years. The only people who knew the details of our split were my family and Karina. But wasn't this what couples did? Share parts of their past, both the good and the bad, with each other? He'd trusted me enough to tell me about Teddy. It was only fair I tell him about Rafe. Besides, even though we weren't an official couple, I felt more comfortable talking to Asher than anyone else I'd dated. We started dating when I was 18, I said. He and Vincent were teammates at the time, which was how we met. We were together for 3 years. It was my first serious relationship, and I thought he hung the moon and stars. We even talked about getting married one day. I toyed with my wine glass, lost in recollection. I should have known better. We were so young, and we were caught up in the fame and money, especially him. It blinded me to things that should have been red flags, but I loved him. Or at least I loved the idea of him. And I truly believed we would be together forever. Sometimes I remember the girl I used to be, and I couldn't believe she existed in the same lifetime as me. She'd been so bright and shiny, filled with hope and stars in her eyes. Rigid when it came to her career, but romantic in every other way. Look where that had gotten her. Things were going so well. I thought he was going to propose, then I swallowed hard. And the accident happened. I was in the hospital for weeks afterward. My recovery was brutal, both physically and emotionally. Rafe couldn't handle it. He'd signed up to date the beautiful prima ballerina, not that shattered version of me who was depressed and angry all the time. I had good reason to feel that way, but like I said, we were young. We weren't equipped to deal with the strain it put on our relationship. He broke up with me a month after I was discharged from the hospital. And he started dating someone else 2 weeks after that. Say what you will about Rafe, but he didn't waste time. Asher's expression hardened. His anger didn't surface often, but when it did, it transformed the entire landscape of his face, sharpening the angles and carving dark hollows beneath his cheekbones.
That fucker.
It's okay. I shook my head. Don't get me wrong. I hated him at the time, but in hindsight, it was the best thing for both of us. Time and therapy had blunted the serrated edges of my anger. We would never be friends, but I didn't curse him every time I thought about him either. However, his abandonment had left me with deep-seated trust issues. It also stripped the shine from our relationship, and I saw the faults that infatuation had glossed over. The arrogance, the desperation for status, the desire for me as a trophy instead of a person. They were things I'd overlooked because I loved him. But like the saying goes, a person's true nature is revealed in the face of adversity. Asher's lips pressed together.
He's the reason for your no footballers rule.
I nodded. I was so heartbroken, and football was such a big part of who he was that I conflated his shortcomings with the sport as a whole. Besides my brother, every footballer I met reminded me of him, so I swore them off altogether.
I don't blame you. Most of us are absolute wankers.
Asher admitted with a trace of a smile. Most are, I agreed. But you're not. I used to think he was. Before we were forced to spend time together in training, I'd already formed an opinion about who he was based on what Vincent told me, what I read in the press, and the mere fact that he was Asher fucking Donovan. How could someone so famous and good-looking not be an arrogant playboy? But over the past few months, I'd discovered that he was so much more than the words other people used to pigeonhole him. It wasn't about what he did so much as how he made me feel. Like I was safe, worthy, and cherished. Like I could share my deepest secrets and ugliest thoughts without diminishing myself in his eyes. I expected a flippant response, but Asher's mouth sobered as he regarded me across the table.
I try not to be,
he said.
I don't always succeed, but I try.
I drew in a shallow breath. We'd barely touched our food, but my stomach was full of butterflies. The silence stretched just long enough to end in a perfect pinpoint period. Thank you for letting me ramble, I said. I know it's probably bad etiquette to talk about an ex during a date.
You can talk to me about anything, anytime.
Asher rubbed a hand over his mouth.
You said he used to play with Vincent. Do you mind if I ask who it was?
I hesitated for only a beat. Rafael Pessoa? The Brazilian striker had been Vincent's teammate at Chelsea before they both transferred. Luckily, Rafael left the Premier League for La Liga soon after our breakup. So I didn't have to worry about running into him in London.
Pessoa?
Asher snorted.
I always knew he was an arsehole. He dives more than an Olympic swimmer.
I laughed. Rafael did have a penchant for feigning injuries. Don't let him hear you say that. He hates when people call him out on it.
I bet he does. You're better off without him. He doesn't deserve you.
Emotions jumbled in my throat. Luckily, Asher saved me from the humiliation of crying in front of him again when he reached for the intercom again.
I do have one more surprise for you,
he said.
I hope you're in the mood for a double dessert.
My brows knitted together when our servers returned and placed two cakes on the table. One was a raspberry cheesecake similar to what we'd baked during class. The second was... I blinked, certain I was seeing wrong. I wasn't. Asher, I covered my mouth with one hand. You didn't. Tell me you didn't ask Sebastian Laurent to make that cake.
No, his pastry chef made it.
Asher grinned.
I wanted something memorable to cap off our evening. I hope you like it.
Like it? I love it. I dragged the second plate closer so I could examine it in detail. My voice bubbled with laughter. I'm just not sure I can eat it. It's too beautiful. The buttercream frosted cake was large enough for six people. A golden yellow fondant figurine of a certain cartoon dog adorned the top, next to a picture of a tiny planet. And beneath that picture, written in neat blue frosting cursive, were three words. Justice for Pluto.
Chapter 30. Asher. I hated to admit it, but my father was right. I was distracted. I just didn't care. It was summer. I had a few weeks before the season started. I was in great shape training-wise, and I wanted to soak up every moment with Scarlett while I could. Once the season was underway and her brother returned to town, our dynamic would change, so fuck focus. I'd worked my arse off for over a decade. I could afford a little time off.
You're unusually quiet,
Scarlett said, trailing her fingers up and down my thigh.
What are you thinking about?
You. I wrapped my arms around her from behind and rested my chin on her shoulder. We were lazing in her bathtub, the lavender-scented bubbles barely covering her curves as we luxuriated in the quiet evening. It was Thursday, so we didn't have training, but I didn't need that as an excuse to see her anymore. Your practices are going well. You nailed the choreography yesterday. In addition to her Tuesday cast rehearsals, she was practicing pieces of Lorena on her own after our trainings.
Do you even know what the choreography is supposed to look like?
She sounded amused. Yes, it's supposed to look like how you did it yesterday. Scarlett turned her head, her face stamped with good-natured exasperation.
Asher Donovan, you are too smooth for your own good.
Am I? I skimmed my mouth over the curve of her shoulder and up her neck, savoring the silky smooth feel of her skin. Or am I just telling the truth? She let out a sigh of pleasure when I captured her mouth in a kiss. She tasted like sugar and strawberries, and when she slid her tongue against mine, my entire body reacted with instant, visceral need. Every time we kissed felt like the first fucking time. There was always another layer to unpeel. I bracketed her waist with my hands and turned her so she wasn't craning her neck. The friction of her body against mine sent another jolt of lust from the head of my cock to my aching balls. Fuck, I groaned. The vibrations from Scarlett's laughter didn't help my situation.
You're wound tight today,
she murmured.
Let's see if we can take care of that, shall we?
She kissed me again, winding her arms around my neck and rocking against me with delicious, deliberate movements that made my brain short-circuit. I'd always preferred showers to baths, but not anymore. Screw showers. Baths were the best. I cupped the back of her head, holding her steady as she ground harder against me. Another tortured groan traveled up my throat. We didn't have condoms with us, and I didn't want to break our embrace to grab them from her bedroom. But she was so slick and soft, and she tasted so good, that if I didn't get inside her soon, I... A sharp gasp bled into our kiss. Not of pleasure, but of pain. I instantly pulled back, my lust puddling into panic when Scarlet winced, her brow crumpling. What's wrong? Did I hurt you?
No, nothing like that.
She reassured me. She shifted her weight and took a deep breath.
It's this position. I got a sudden twinge in my leg, that's all.
Fuck. I ran a hand over my face. Of course her tiny tub wasn't a good place for foreplay. I was usually hyper-conscious of how and where we had sex, in case it aggravated her chronic pain. But I'd gotten too lost in the moment. I didn't think.
It's not your fault.
Scarlet gave me a quick smile.
Usually it's not so bad, but it's been a long week. I'm more sensitive than usual.
I should have thought of it, I insisted, mentally kicking myself for the oversight. We don't have to stay here. We can move somewhere more comfortable if you need to rest. I hated that I'd played a part in her discomfort. I'd pay any amount of money to take away her pain. Not just her physical ones, but the mental and emotional ones too. But money couldn't buy peace. I, of all people, knew that.
Stop. This isn't on you.
Scarlet's fingers skimmed over my mouth, soothing my grimace.
I want to have sex. I like sex. I also like this tub, and I like what we were doing in here. I just needed a little adjustment before we continue. If I truly need to stop, I'd tell you.
I must have looked unconvinced because her mouth flattened into a stubborn line.
Don't,
she said.
Promise you won't treat me like I'm a porcelain doll you're afraid you'll break. That's not what I want.
I brushed my lips over hers in the lightest of kisses. So what do you want?
I want to stay here.
I felt her smile more than I saw it.
I didn't pour a quarter of my fanciest bubble bath for nothing. That stuff is expensive.
Relief and humor laced my chuckle. She's fine. Like she said, she'd tell me if she wasn't. I didn't want to assume I knew her body better than she did. If there was one thing Scarlet couldn't stand, it was people pitying or babying her. She didn't need that. Regardless of her physical condition, she was one of the strongest people I knew. Then we'll stay, and I won't treat you like a porcelain doll. My lips grazed hers with each word. I promise I've never imagined doing to dolls the things I'm going to do to you. My mouth curved at her sharp intake of breath. Turn around, I said. She obeyed, and I waited until she'd settled into a comfortable position before I grabbed a loofah from next to the tub and dipped it in the still warm water. I squeezed it over her shoulders, letting the foam-tipped bead strip down her back before I rubbed them in with long, languid strokes. Our conversation tapered into her soft sighs and the gentle splash of water as I worked my way over her body. White sudsy trails trickled down her bare skin, and she looked so beautiful and content sitting there, her limbs heavy with desire, that I could have spent the rest of my life doing this. I'd never bathed anyone before, but the intimacy of it destroyed me more than sex. To have Scarlet trust me enough to take care of her when she was at her most naked and vulnerable, it was a gut punch in the best way possible. After I finished lathering her back, I ran the hot water again before I moved the loofah around to her front. I glided it up her thighs and over her stomach to her chest. The water lapped against the sides of the tub with every movement, creating a rhythm that was almost hypnotic. Steam rose from the freshly heated water and curled in lazy tendrils around us. The air was redolent with the scent of lavender and soap, and an aching tension muffled any noises that might have bled over from neighboring flats. In that moment, we were the only people on Earth. However, my languorous exploration of her body came to a brief halt when Scarlet sank deeper against my chest and shifted in a way that rubbed directly over my cock. Heat raced to my groin. I gritted my teeth. I was rock hard, but I forced myself to finish the bath without rushing. When I smoothed the loofah over her breasts, She let out a breathy sigh that made every last drop of blood head south. You know exactly what you're doing, don't you? I said roughly. I underscored the question with a nip on her ear. A shiver rippled through her.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No. I ditched the sponge and cupped her breast, giving it a punishing squeeze. Try again. Her shiver intensified into a full body shudder.
I don't want you to use the loofah anymore,
she said, a voice thick with desire.
I want you to touch me with your hands.
Where do you want me to touch you? I released her breast and slid my hand over her stomach. It went taut, her muscles quivering from the light caress. Here, she nodded. Or here. I dipped lower to her thighs, passing them so her knees pressed against mine. I couldn't see through the layer of bubbles, but I could picture her pussy, pink and perfect and wet.
Yes.
She breathed. Maybe you want me to touch here instead. I trailed my fingers over her inner thigh, my knuckles just grazing her clit. Scarlet's whimper amplified the pressure gripping my cock. I hadn't touched it, but hearing her whine with need was almost enough to make me blow. My muscles throbbed with pent-up lust. If we hadn't been sitting, my knees might have buckled from the sheer force of my desire, but I took it slow. For now. You're a greedy little thing, aren't you? I murmured when she arched her back and tried to press harder against my hand. Instead of giving in to her insistent squirming, I took my time, my palms mapping every inch of her wet, flushed skin. I dragged them back up over her hips and stomach until I reached her breasts again. They were soft and firm, tipped with the diamond-hard nipples that strained for my touch. I rolled them between my fingers, tugging and pinching until her whimpers escalated into full-out moans. Her hips surged up, seeking friction that the water couldn't give.
Please.
Scarlet gripped my wrist and tried to guide my hand down between her legs.
Asher, please.
A sob rent the air when I resisted. Patience, darling, I soothed. My lips grazed the shell of her ear. Let me play with you first. I kept one hand on her breast while the other continued its exploration. She shuddered and panted, so damn responsive that it took everything in me not to haul her into the bedroom and fill her up the way she was begging me to. There'd be time for that later, after I finished what I'd started. After an agonizing length of teasing that was as torturous for me as it was for her, I finally brushed her clit with my thumb. She was so on edge that the single, feather-like caress ripped a strangled cry from her throat. Scarlet bucked against me hard enough to send water splashing over the side of the tub and onto the floor. Her fingers gripped the porcelain edge with bleached white knuckles, and a series of unintelligible moans filled the room when I stroked her swollen bud.
Oh, God.
She gasped as my hands pinched and rubbed and squeezed in tandem, one on her breast, the other between her legs. My teeth scored the curve between her neck and shoulder as I fought to keep the leash of my control intact. My cock was so hard it fucking hurt, but I pushed its demand for attention aside for now. I increased my pace, loving the sounds of Scarlet's cries and her body's response, until her body stiffened and she came with a scream. Her orgasm rolled on and on, its ripples seemingly never ending as she convulsed from the intensity. I groaned against her neck, my breathing ragged. I wished I was inside her, feeling her cunt clench around my cock while she flooded me with wet heat. But this wasn't the place for that, and this wasn't about me. It was about her. Eventually, Scarlet's orgasm subsided, and she slumped against me.
I think I've found a new favorite way to take a bath,
she said, sounding dazed. Laughter rumbled up my throat. Mine too. I wrapped my arms around her waist from behind and pressed a kiss to her shoulder. We should do this after every day.
You won't hear any arguments from me.
Scarlet hummed with pleasure.
But we're not finished yet.
I sucked in a breath when she adjusted her position and sat up straighter so she could grasp me without turning around. Is that right? I drawled. A low buzz filled my ears. I couldn't see what she was doing, but God, I could feel it. What else did you have in mind? My strained voice belied the casual words. She glanced at me over her shoulder, her grey eyes sparkling with mischief.
More like what I have in hand.
Fuck. The curse slipped out when she squeezed the head of my aching cock. Scarlet.
Yes?
She said innocently. I didn't answer. I couldn't. Every thought emptied when she slid her hands up and down my shaft, her slick palms working in tandem to yank me toward the brink. She let go occasionally to scrape her nails lightly across my balls, but I quickly lost track of her individual movements. I was too focused on the electric heat gathering at the base of my spine. My muscles turned rigid, and I... The jarring ring of the doorbell brought a screeching halt to my orgasm. My eyes flew open as the asshole visitor rang the bell again less than a second later and thoroughly killed the moment. I hissed in aggravation when Scarlet released me fully. Who the fuck was here this late in the evening?
That must be our takeaway.
She looked like she was trying not to laugh as I glowered at the door.
I'm sorry, baby. I'll finish taking care of you when I get back. I don't want you scaring them off.
She arched an eyebrow at the bubbles, which had cleared enough for us to see my still raging erection beneath the water. The delivery guy has the worst timing ever, I growled. 0 stars for them. A sliver of Scarlet's laugh escaped.
Don't be mean.
She climbed carefully out of the tub and belted a thick robe around herself.
I'll be right back.
I sank deeper into the tub, cursing past me for thinking takeaway was a good idea. We should have ordered it after our bath. That way I wouldn't be sitting here with blue balls. The minutes ticked by. She was taking awfully long for a quick delivery. Concern cut a path through my grumbles and coalesced into alarm when I heard voices in the living room. Why the hell was the delivery guy in her flat? I was about to bolt out of the tub when the door opened and Scarlet entered. My relief sputtered out at the sight of her face. It was the color of parchment. What happened? Did he...
Shh.
She glanced over her shoulder. When she turned again, her eyes brimmed with fresh panic.
That wasn't the delivery guy. It was my brother. He's in the living room.
A boulder tumbled into my stomach as her words sank in. Vincent was here, standing less than 20 feet away and separated from us by only 2 flimsy sets of doors while I was naked in his sister's bathtub. Oh, fuck.
Chapter 31. Scarlet. I told Vincent I was getting dressed, so I couldn't stay in the bathroom too long. I left Asher there with strict instructions not to make a single sound, tossed on a t-shirt and leggings, and hurried back to the living room. I hadn't wanted to leave my brother alone in case he picked up on the clues scattered around the flat. The men's shoes in the entryway, the 2 half-empty glasses on the kitchen counter. But I had to warn Asher so he didn't wander out looking for pizza. Sorry for the wait. I had to, find clean clothes. I said brightly, closing the bedroom door behind me. Thankfully, I'd scored one of the coveted flats with an ensuite bathroom. If Asher were in the hall with only 1 door separating him from my brother... A chill shivered across my back. You didn't tell me you'd be visiting. You were just here a few weeks ago.
I was.
Vincent stood in the middle of the living room, his arms crossed. I gulped. Uh-oh. He looked furious.
I didn't tell you I was coming for a reason,
he said. An accusatory note slid beneath his words.
I didn't want to give you time to make up excuses.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, he knows. A bead of sweat cut a small swath down my neck. Why did Asher and I keep putting off our Vincent strategy? We said we'd figure out a way to tell my brother, but we never brainstormed the how part. If we had, I might be able to respond with more than a dismayed squeak when Vincent's eyes flicked around the room and landed on the trainers by the door. Specifically, the white, size 9, men's trainers. A muscle worked in Vincent's jaw.
Is there something you want to tell me?
I mustered a weak smile. I love you and you're the bestest big brother ever? I swore I heard a growl.
Scarlet.
Look, I held up my hands. My nerves felt like barbs punching through my skin, but we were already here. There was no use denying the obvious. I was going to tell you, I swear, but I didn't want you to get mad and do something stupid.
Stupid?
Vincent's eye twitched. Okay, maybe that hadn't been the best choice of words.
Like what?
Like when you told one of my dates you'd get the entire Black Castle team to jump him if he didn't bring me home before midnight?
He was an idiot.
Vincent snapped.
What kind of person with common sense would believe that? And don't try to deflect. How long has this been going on?
He jabbed a finger toward the trainers. I braced myself. A few weeks?
A few weeks!
He exploded.
Jesus, Letty!
It's my love life, I said defensively. I don't have to tell you every time I date someone. Besides, I wanted to see where things went before I said anything.
Maybe that's true, but it'd be nicer to hear about it from my sister instead of the internet.
The internet? Ice water flooded my veins. Dread grabbed my heart and slammed it against my ribcage with heavy, relentless beats. You found out about us from the internet? How did we miss that? Did the news break today? If so, how did Vincent get here so fast? Then again, Paris was only a 2.5-hour train ride from London, and Asher and I hadn't been on our phones all evening. Vincent scrolled through his cell and shoved it at me.
Someone saw you guys at the Golden Wharf a few weeks ago. They posted a picture on some sports forum, but it didn't make the rounds until today.
I stared at the screen, open-mouthed, because the picture he'd pulled up wasn't of me and Asher. It was of me and Clive. It was grainy, but our faces were clearly visible. The photographer had captured me getting out of his car while he waited with his arm out like a gentleman. We were smiling at each other like we were in love, even though I'd been hungry and he'd been distracted. Thankfully, whoever took the photo hadn't stuck around to see us meet Asher and Ivy. If they had, I'd bet my last quid the pictures would have made the rounds way sooner. Oxygen flowed more smoothly into my lungs. My brother didn't know about Asher. Yet.
Clive Hart! Seriously!
Vincent's annoyed voice brought my attention back to him.
Of all the people you could have chosen, you chose to date Clive Hart! I told you he was a fuckboy, and I meant it. Don't fall for his nice guy act, Letty. It's broken a lot of hearts.
I'm not dating Clive, I said, trying to wrap my head around the new and unexpected development. I didn't know there were people so invested in rugby players' love lives. We went on one date, that's it.
Then whose shoes are those?
Fuck. I realized my mistake too late. I scrambled for an excuse. I have a friend from RAB over. We were going over something for Lorena. You know, that school showcase I'm an understudy for? He spilled something, so he's taking a shower.
I don't hear the water running.
My brother was usually an idiot. Why did he have to be so observant today of all days? I guess he's lathering, I said. He's very, thorough with the soap. Vincent's eyes tapered in suspicion. He didn't believe me for a second.
Are you sleeping with him? I just want to have a talk.
He started toward my bedroom. No! I grabbed his arm. I told you, he's showering.
I can wait in your room.
No, you are not going to storm in there and embarrass me. I released him, but put myself in his path, blocking him from the door. I'm an adult, Vince. While I appreciate your concern, I can do whatever I want with whoever I want. I don't need to run it by you first. You don't see me interrogating you about every girl you're seen with.
That's not the same.
Why not? Double standard much? I shook my head. I know you're worried about me and you don't want to see me get hurt, but I promise I know what I'm doing.
Do you?
Vincent's mask of anger fractured, revealing slivers of worry underneath.
You haven't dated anyone seriously since Raphael, and we know how that ended. You were inconsolable after the breakup. I don't want to see you in that place again, ever. It was... Fuck, Letty. It was a scary time.
My indignation melted at his agonized expression. For all his bluster and overprotectiveness, he really did have my best interests at heart. And he was right. The early post-breakup days had been mired in darkness. Between the accident and the abrupt end of a 3-year relationship, there'd been times when... I swallowed. I get it, I said more softly this time. I'm not 21 anymore. Let me handle my relationships as I see fit, okay? Vincent stared at me for an extra beat before he let out a resigned sigh.
Fine. But if anyone fucks with you, tell me and I really will get the team to jump him.
He eyed the trainers again.
So are you sleeping with your colleague? Who is it? Is it serious?
Vincent!
Just curious.
He cracked a small smile.
Anyway, I didn't come all this way just to yell at you about Clive. Though this conversation would be a lot longer if you really were dating him.
I figured as much. Vincent was as capable of yelling over the phone as he was in person. Do you have another PR thing in the city?
No. Coach wanted to check in with me since I, backed out of the training sessions with you and Donovan. That's doing fine with the nurse now. So I'm actually returning to London earlier than expected. I'm staying through the weekend. Then I'll go back to Paris to wrap up loose ends. But I'll be training with you again starting the Monday after next.
I suspected there was more to the story than he was sharing, but I was too stuck on his last sentence to delve deeper.
I'll be training with you again starting the Monday after next.
That meant Asher and I had even less time together than anticipated. Oh, how nice. My words squeaked with surprise. I mean, yay, can't wait. If Vincent noticed my pitiable attempt to feign enthusiasm, he didn't mention it.
The upside is I can keep an eye on Donovan. I can't stand that guy.
His mouth twisted into a grimace.
At least you're not sleeping with him. I'm sorry, Letty. I know it's your love life, but if he was the one in your bathroom right now, I'd smash his face into the wall.
My high-pitched laugh sounded like it was supercharged with helium. Me and Asher? That would be something, anyway. I pushed him toward the exit. Let's catch up later. I don't want my colleague to see you when he gets out of the shower, and... Oh! The pizza delivery guy beamed at us when I yanked open the door.
Sorry I'm late,
he said, with the kind of pep only a uni student desperate for extra cash could scrounge up.
There was an accident, so traffic was a nightmare. But never fear. Pete's Pizza's state-of-the-art warming bag ensures your food will taste as fresh as when it left the oven.
Great. I pushed my brother into the hall and reached for the pizza. Thanks. The delivery guy cut me off with the remainder of his spiel.
Can you please confirm that you ordered one large pepperoni pizza with a side of garlic breadsticks for Ash?
Yes, I shouted. Asher had placed the order under a pseudonym, but he stupidly used his real first name. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Vince, I'll call you later. Bye. I grabbed the pie, waved, and slammed the door in two stunned faces. I stood there, pulse pumping until I heard their footsteps fade. To be safe, I peered out the window and waited until Vincent's car disappeared down the street before I turned and set the pizza on the coffee table.
Smooth.
I jumped at the unexpected voice and whirled around, my poor heart rate spiking to the top of the roller coaster before plummeting with relief. I placed a hand over my chest. God, don't scare me like that. Asher stood in my bedroom doorway, dressed and scowling. Logically, I knew he was the only other person in the flat, but my nerves were shot from dealing with my brother. Every little thing set me on edge.
Smash my face into the wall.
Asher had obviously overheard Vincent's threat.
I'd like to see him bloody try.
Tone down the testosterone for a moment and focus, I admonished. Do you know how close of a call that was? If our timing had been just a little off.
He'd beat me up. Please, I'd wipe the floor with him.
Asher snorted, but his frown released with a sigh at my warning glare.
Fine, I'll behave.
I can't believe someone took a photo of me and Clive. Did Clive know about the picture? I hadn't spoken to him since I thanked him for our date, but politely insinuated that I wasn't open to a second one. He'd taken my rejection in stride. I didn't think he was that into me either.
Yeah, he's a C-list celebrity at best. The public doesn't care who he dates.
Asher shrugged when I made an exasperated noise.
Sorry, but it's true. I googled it when you were talking to Vincent. The photo's on a few gossip forums, but the only news outlet that ran it is some shitty online tabloid no one reads. I'm surprised your brother even saw it.
Relief unwound the knots in my gut. Thank God the photographer didn't see you, or this would be a different story. I tried to sort through our next steps. Okay, so Vincent thinks I'm dating my colleague, and he'll be training with us again soon. What do we do?
We make sure he's not around sharp objects when we break the news to him.
Can you be serious?
I am serious.
But his confident smirk didn't fully reach his eyes.
I'm not looking forward to the conversation either. But despite our differences, your brother and I have one thing in common. We both care about you. That counts for something, right?
A warm drop of pleasure dripped into my pool of anxiety. Right, you're right, I repeated. Maybe it won't turn out as bad as we're making it out to be. He cares enough about what your coach thinks to return to London early and continue training with you, which is good. He doesn't want a repeat of last season either. Last season had been a disaster because Asher and Vincent butted heads, but now Asher said he was willing to let bygones be bygones. If he extended an olive branch, Vincent would have to take it. He was the team captain. His job included boosting team morale and cohesion. He was overprotective at times, but he had my best interests at heart. If I was happy with Asher, he wouldn't begrudge me that.
We'll discuss exactly how to tell him over pizza.
Asher gave me a crooked smile.
Don't want Pete's Pizza's state-of-the-art warming bags hard work to go to waste.
I returned his smile with a small one of my own. Best idea you've had all day.
Even better than the bath.
Second best idea you've had all day, I amended. His laugh settled over me like a warm blanket on a winter night. It was so rich, so strong and comforting that it made it easy to believe everything would turn out all right. I'm sorry we didn't finish our activities earlier. I glanced down at his sweats. The past half hour had killed our moment in the bathroom. I felt bad since he'd given me an incredible orgasm. I'll never look at my tub the same again, while I'd left him with blue balls.
It's fine. I'm used to Vincent fucking shit up for me,
Asher said sardonically.
And don't worry, darling. I have ideas for how you can make it up to me later.
Heat curled low at the velvety dip of his voice. Do you now?
Mm-hmm.
He broke off half a breadstick and handed it to me.
Later, once your brother's stench is fully gone, it's a mood killer.
Asher.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
He didn't sound sorry at all. I swear, men acted like boys half the time. How are you feeling about the charity match this weekend? I asked, switching subjects. It's at 3 on Saturday, right? Asher was participating in Sport for Hope, a football fundraiser organized by a non-profit foundation of the same name. It provided mentoring and sports opportunities for kids in high-need communities. I'd never heard of them until he mentioned the match last week, but I was excited to see him play in person. Football matches were usually too rowdy for me, so I hadn't attended a Black Castle match since he transferred.
Yep, it's always a fun time.
Asher hesitated.
I know Vincent is staying through the weekend, so you don't have to come if it makes things dicey.
No way, I said stubbornly. I'll bring the girls and we'll make a day out of it, but I'm not missing the match. A small smile graced his lips. The moment swirled around us for a gentle second before he cleared his throat and averted his eyes.
Speaking of the girls, are you excited for tomorrow?
Karina, Brooklyn, and I were scheduled to have our poker and drinks get together tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I need more estrogen in my life. I finished my pizza and wiped my mouth with a napkin. Between you and my brother, I've been around way too much testosterone. I need better company before I go absolutely bat- I cut off with a squeal when Asher tackled me to the floor. He swallowed my laugh with a kiss, and soon I wasn't thinking about my brother, my friends, or anything at all besides his touch.
Asher, we have a problem. Finley removed his hat and rubbed a hand over his bald pate, his frustration visible through the screen. Simon injured his foot and won't be able to play tomorrow. Shit. I swallowed a longer litany of curses. What about our backups? It was Friday night, and the big charity match kicked off in less than 24 hours. We didn't have time to recruit someone new. Fucking Simon. If I was reckless with cars, he was reckless with everything else. I wouldn't be surprised to learn he'd injured his foot doing something stupid like kicking a marble statue out of anger. Finley grimaced. He was the head of sport for Hope. I'd participated in their charity match for so many summers that I was basically a de facto advisor, and he often called me for advice when it came to marketing and recruiting players.
We only have one backup, and his wife gave birth early last week. He's not leaving his newborn side.
Shit, I said again. With Simon injured and our backup out of town, we were missing a good defender. Sport for Hope relied on its summer fundraiser for the bulk of its annual donations. The match always sold out, but the real cash came from its secret benefactor. No one knew who it was, but apparently they had an odd way of calculating how much they'd donate. The number of goals scored by the winning team equaled how many times they'd match the ticket sales. For example, if the match sold £50,000 worth of tickets and the winning team scored 3 goals, the donor would wire £150,000 to the charity. It was strange, but people were strange. The stipulation also meant we worked hard to recruit good players every summer. Better players usually meant more goals. Unfortunately, it was hard when the match took place during the off-season when everyone was on holiday.
I don't suppose you know anyone who can fill in?
Finley asked. Lines of stress bracketed the sides of his mouth.
I know it's a big favour to ask at the last minute, but the new football pitch took a big chunk of our money last year. We need the extra donation match from SB.
SB stood for Secret Benefactor. Not a creative nickname, but it did the job.
I don't know.
I racked my brain for possibilities. I want to help, but most of the players I know aren't in... I trailed off. There was one defender who was in town and uninjured. One very good defender who made Simon look like an amateur. No offense to Simon. No. My pride quashed the seed of possibility before it fully blossomed. There was no fucking way I'd ask him for help. I'd rather chop off my leg and serve it to him on a silver platter. Then I looked at Finley's pleading face, and I thought of all the kids his organization helped. Teddy had been one of those kids, which was how I found out about Sport for Hope in the first place. Besides London, it had chapters in Holchester, Manchester, and Birmingham. Before Teddy's mother remarried and his family moved next door to mine, his parents had struggled to put food on the table. Sport for Hope was the one that had provided him with the resources to play football in a semi-professional setting for youths. Without them, we might have never bonded over the sport. I joined the Sport for Hope tournament after Teddy died and stayed involved since. It was part atonement for my role in his death, and part way to honour his memory. I couldn't screw it up.
Forget SB, I said. I can more than match the ticket sales.
Finley's expression crumpled into a scowl.